It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copeland. Featuring stimulating, in-depth interviews with special guests from all areas of the arts. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Copeland.
To the show where we balance the intellectual with the creative, exploring whether we have more in common than divides us through thought-provoking conversations. For the topic hour, I go out and about to talk to people on the street. And for this, the Arts Hour, I interview local, national and international guests from all areas of the arts. If you'd like to find out more about the show, you can go to the website. It's aquestionofbalance.com. And you can hear podcasts of all past shows there and also connect with me on social media. Should you wish. This week, as my special guest from the arts, I'm pleased to be featuring cast and filmmakers of the award-winning film My Feral Heart. I covered the Cinequest Film Festival for the show's Arts Hour, and this is part of a series of special arts reports that I'm going to be featuring. I was pleased to interview some of the cast and filmmakers from the British film My Feral Heart, which won Best Drama in the Cinequest 2016 Audience Awards. First, I spoke to the director, Jane Gull, who has been described as one of the UK's best new filmmaking talents. I'm here with Jane Gull, who's here for the world premiere of My Feral Heart. You've come all the way from England. Welcome to California.
Hi, good to be here.
So I'm wondering, can you remember the first time that you became aware of the power of art to affect us on a deep level as well as entertain us in any kind of form, whether it's a book or a film, or rather than just to entertain us, that it has a means of actually affecting us on a deep level?
Yeah, I think it was when I saw the film Dancer in the Dark. That really changed my... It affected me so badly, that film. I couldn't believe that a film could have such an impact on me, that I was literally howling in the shower for hours. Goodness. After.
Wow, that sounds a bit traumatic.
It is, but it's actually my favourite film. I just think it's fantastic how it captures the fantasy but with the realism as
right.
Well. And that just, I'll never forget how I felt when I watched that film.
So is that partly why you've gone into film? I mean, was the effect of that so great that you thought one day I want to do that? Or
yeah, I mean, I come from a sort of theatre background. I sort of directed my first theatre production when I was 11, and love the theatre, but the difficulty with theatre is it's reaching out to the audience. Whereas film, you've got the longevity, that film's there forever. Whereas when
right.
you do a play, you
yes.
can put all that work into it,
yeah.
and, you know, if it's snowing or if the trains aren't running, you might not get an audience. So
yes.
it's just reaching out to a bigger audience.
Right. Your film, My Feral Heart, which you directed, what inspired you to tell this story?
The script, when it was presented to me, I thought it was really original, and I really liked the characters. And the story and the characters are the two things that are most important to me. When reading a script.
Yeah. Can you give us a little synopsis without giving too much away, just for listeners?
Yeah, it's about a guy called Luke whose mother passes away, and he looks after her. He has Down syndrome, and when she passes away, he's put into a care home, and he sort of tries to break out, and it's about his adventures and about the friendships that he meets and looking for his independence.
What draws you to fictional filmmaking to tell stories rather than a documentary format?
I've had a go at doing documentary. I've done a few. And it's a lot easier working with actors than it is real people. and actually, documentary is really hard. To do a good documentary is very difficult.
Yeah.
And I like fiction and I like documentaries, but I love working with actors. I love the, not the manipulation, but the things that you can do with characters rather than with real people. I think when you're doing a documentary, it's, you know, it can be very difficult if you're, you know, if it's a challenging subject and it's somebody's real life that you're dealing
right.
with.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Social constructionism tells us that society and the individuals within it are socially constructed. That is, their significance and identity are negotiated through discourses. They're not facts that exist in an existentialist way. I'm wondering whether you see art as one way of people with less of a voice entering into this discourse and being able to challenge the prevailing facts, and whether that's something you might see this film as doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things that inspires me to want to make films. I think at an indie level, I think you have a little bit more, you're able to do that. I think when you go up to the next level, I think it becomes more difficult. But that's really what inspires me, and the movies that I want to continue to make, they're all on that sort of kilt.
Yeah. I was wondering if you had a particular audience in mind when you were making the film. Who do you hope the film reaches?
Well, I think it can... I think there's an audience for every type of film, and this film is the sort of film that I would want to go and see. It's not going to be everybody's cup of tea, but then nothing ever is. I mean, Transformers isn't my cup of tea.
No.
So, but I think, it's a huge world out there, and I think there's an audience for every type of film.
Yeah, absolutely. I just wanted to ask you about, women in the media in general, particularly in the film business, are in a minority. What has been your experience as a woman in the film industry? Has it been challenging?
It hasn't for me. So I can only go on thing. What I would say is I feel people's perceptions, like quite often I've been on a set and people will always ask if I'm the producer. Sometimes, I've even been on the set and someone, a runner's come up to me and said, oh, are you makeup?
Right.
So I still think people's perception of a director is a guy with a beard and a baseball cap wearing a North Face jacket.
Right.
Directors can come in all shapes and sizes and sexes.
Yes, absolutely. All art's about communication. Is there an overarching theme you're trying to communicate through this film and generally through your art, or is every project different?
I think every project's different, but the similarity in the projects that I've done so far and the ones that I want to continue to do are telling untold stories, maybe giving a voice to stories or characters that we don't often see, and something that's got something to say, something that's meaningful or is going to not change people's perspective or change their life, but maybe give them, just change the way they think, or maybe open a discussion. Maybe they might hate the film, but that's fine.
Yes.
I'd rather somebody hated it rather than like, yeah, it's all right.
Yes, yeah. Challenging people's perceptions.
And also just telling different stories. There is a lot of people in this world with, like the character of Luke in our film.
Yeah.
It doesn't always have to be, black and white.
Yeah, absolutely.
A bit grey.
Yeah. No, well, I think, the areas of grey are where most of the interest is in life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for talking to me.
Thank you. Thanks for talking to me.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my special guests from the arts this week, some of the cast and filmmakers from the award-winning film My Feral Heart. We're going to a break now, but I'll be back after these messages.
Like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com.
About you in the rain. Did I or didn't I say it's forever? Well, I know I said it, babe, it just goes nowhere. It's well, we can do.
It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com. Gazing at a painting by Santa Cruz artist Doreen Davis simultaneously enlivens and soothes the soul. Working predominantly in watercolor, but also in acrylic and oil, Doreen's floral and landscape paintings have appeared in many exhibitions and are in private collections in the United States, the United Kingdom, and Germany. Experience the visual delight of being at one with nature through her paintings. Visit her online gallery at DoreenDavis.com. DoreenDavis.com. That's DoreenDavis.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my special guests this week from the award-winning British film My Feral Heart. The film had its world premiere at the Cinequest 2016 Film Festival in Silicon Valley, which I covered for the Arts Hour, and where I was able to interview some of the cast and filmmakers. And next, I spoke to the film's producer, James Rumsey, and chipping in at the beginning is the film's star, Stephen Brandon. So now I'm speaking to James Rumsey, who is the producer of My Feral Heart. And Stephen, you were just saying what you thought of James.
He's just a loving person. He's when he was in the doing the director working for My Feral Heart.
I wasn't directing.
Producer
was assistant directing.
Of My Feral Heart, and I just felt in love with him.
Aww. Well, that's quite an introduction there, James. I don't know if you can live up to it, but anyway.
For the record, Stephen's a very lovely man as well.
Okay.
I think he brought the love on set more than anybody.
Aww. So, how did you come to be involved in this project, and why did it appeal to you?
Okay, I came to be involved through Jane. I'd already met Jane. Before I produced this film, before I moved into producing, this is my first feature as a producer. I was organising short film events in London, and I met Jane at one of those. Loved the short film that she did, Sunny Boy. And when I decided to move into producing, having done those events, I had a list of directors whose work I admired and whose personalities I admired, because it's very important when you start producing a film, the people you collaborate with, it's almost like a marriage, so you have to be confident you can get along with those people.
Yeah.
And Jane was off my list, so I contacted her, and long story short, she sent me the script that Duncan Paveling wrote. At the time, I was doing a lot of script reading, so I was reading a lot of scripts, and without a shadow of a doubt, it stood out ahead of all the scripts I was reading at the time for different production companies. It's just a very unique story. The characters are incredibly well drawn, and you know exactly where you stand within the first half a dozen pages. So I was hooked.
Mm.
You know, the connection that you have with Luke and his mother is very clearly drawn out. Emotionally, you're attached to the character, you're rooting for him.
Yes.
Very early on. A lot of feature films don't understand how early you have to do that.
Right.
Duncan understood that, and I could see exactly how that style of writing and that kind of characterization was going to work with Jane's style of filmmaking. So yeah, I fell in love with it straight away. I was, to be honest, at the time it didn't matter to me that the character of Luke had Down syndrome. I didn't see that as obviously it's an important aspect of the film, but no matter what other theme it has running through it, the script has to work, the script has to be compelling.
And
that was what came first for me, and that was one of the strengths. You forget when you're reading it, and hopefully when you're watching the film, that the character of Luke has Down syndrome.
Right.
Hopefully you just invest in a character who has a set of confrontations and conflicts to work out, just like any other protagonist in any other movie.
Yeah.
That's the level the script worked at for me. That's why I wanted to do it. And it helped that both myself, Jane and Duncan all come from Essex, and it was shot in the backyard where we all grew up. We didn't know each other beforehand. We came together through coincidence. So that was a nice added bonus, which brought me on board.
Right.
But the script first and foremost, and Jane. Yes. Jane first, script second, and the marriage of the two I could see working incredibly well.
Yeah. What do you feel film has to offer as a creative medium that other art forms don't? What attracts you to film, for getting stories across and messages?
I think it's got to be the most dynamic medium out there. I fell in love with theatre first. Once I started finding out more about movies, movies are always around you growing up as a kid, but once you start finding out about the nuts and bolts of filmmaking, editing was what turned me on first of all. It was, you could take disparate images and collide them together to create create meaning. And it's the ability to move through time and space. It's very difficult to do that in a theatrical environment. The shackles are off in film.
Yes.
And you really are only constricted by the boundaries you put on your imagination. In a true sense, it's true of theatre, of course it is.
Yes.
But there's just something about the medium of film that enables you to move through time and space and create dreams, messages, themes in a way that is very populist.
Yeah.
And are very achievable. I mean, there really is no limit what you can do.
Yeah. Well, it's very exciting. My Feral Heart has the world premiere here at Cinequest, so I wish you all the best with it going forward.
We're absolutely excited. We're so chuffed. It's here.
Thanks so much for talking to me.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my special guest this week from the award-winning British film My Feral Heart, written by Duncan Paveling. And just want to let you know that if you want more information about the film and also the people who I'm interviewing, you can go to myferalheart.co.uk, myferalheart.co.uk, and also, of course, at the show's website, itsaquestionofbalance.com, you can find the podcast of this show. And if you visited my guests and topics pages before, you'll know there's lots of photographs and information and links, and of course the audio, so that you can listen to the shows that you've liked or the shows that you've missed, or tell your friends about it. So again, that's itsaquestionofbalance.com. Well, the next person that I spoke to from My Feral Heart was one of the lead actors, Pixie Lannott. So let's hear what she had to say. So now I'm talking to Pixie Lannott, who is one of the actors in My Feral Heart. Can you tell us a little bit about your role in My Feral Heart?
I play the feral girl, and she's quite a mysterious character. She's severely abused and neglected young girl, and she hasn't had much human contact, and is really very animalistic.
Right.
And Stephen's character Luke shows her how to be more human, and looks after her, nurtures her back to health.
That sounds quite a challenging role. What did you draw on to enable yourself to get into that state of mind of someone who's that neglected?
I did a lot of research on feral children, and watched lots of documentaries and studied lots of cases about feral children and their movement and behaviour and sounds, and did a lot of work with Jane on that.
So what is your background with acting? How did you first come to be interested in choosing that as your art form to express yourself?
I had a really unusual route, because I was a gymnast and then I was a contortionist in the circus.
Wow.
And so I'm not really an actress. And then, because of the contortion, I started doing horror films, exorcism scenes, using contortion.
Wow.
And because of how I look, playing like the possessed girls, little girls.
Okay, I have to stop a minute and tell listeners, because this is radio, that you don't look possessed in any way at all. You're very attractive and petite, so just for radio listeners. So what was it about you that attracted them to cast you in those roles?
The horror films, because of my physicality, because of the contortion.
Okay.
So the possessed, you know, all the like, yeah, if you see a girl that's like contorting around it and being possessed, it's usually me. And because I have really long dark hair and I'm pale and I look young and I'm small, they do me up to look awful. And then after that, I got a part in Game of Thrones as the contortionist prostitute, and that's what got me more acting. And then since then I've done lots of physical kind of acting, motion capture and My Feral Heart.
Right. So, what attracted you to this project?
When I read it, I just thought the part was perfect for me, and because it's a physical acting role, and that's what I'm interested in.
Right.
And it's just really different, because usually I play possessed girls or prostitutes.
Yes, nice
creatures
to break out.
Yeah, so it's something really different, challenging, and I just thought I could learn a lot on it, and I did. Yeah.
I mean, does the idea, obviously the film is in a way giving a voice to a minority that perhaps doesn't get seen in film so much, or perhaps not seen in a very real or maybe even positive light. Is that something also that meant something to you with the film?
Yeah, definitely, because all my work is like more fun, kind of horror film and Game of Thrones, not that deep, just fun.
Yeah.
And it was really different for me, and nice to do something more meaningful.
Yeah.
And interesting.
What would you hope that people would take away from seeing this film?
Just a different perspective on people with Down syndrome, because lots of people haven't had contact with many people with Down syndrome. They don't know much about it, and that actually people with Down syndrome are really capable and have great personalities and really fun to be around.
Well, I wish you all the best with the premiere, and thanks so much for talking to me.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my special guest this week from the award-winning British film My Feral Heart, which explores whether we are not so different from each other as perhaps we might think. And my final conversation is with the male lead, Stephen Brandon. And while many films have sought to address the lives of those with a disability, none have been brave enough to cast an actor with a disability in the lead role. So in that regard, My Feral Heart is really a landmark in British cinema casting. So let's hear my conversation with Stephen. So I'm here with Stephen Brandon, who is the lead in the film My Feral Heart. Welcome to California. Is this your first time to America?
Yes.
And what do you think of it so far?
Very, very excellent.
Yes, yeah, it's very different, isn't it, to Britain?
Yes.
So, how did you come to be in this film? How were you discovered to do the role of Luke?
I was at a theatre company.
Oh!
It's called Mushroom Theatre Company.
Right.
And I got spotted by Jane.
Right. So you already were acting, but in a theatre, not in film. Okay. So this is your first film that you've been in. What was it like being on the set? I've never been on a set. You know, you've got all the cameras on you. Is it nerve-wracking?
At first, yes. But when Jane saw me, I was like straight away doing it.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's great. When you're an actor, you take on a different character. You know, you're not yourself, you're being someone else. What do you like about that?
I want to be on a set of the soap called EastEnders.
Oh, okay. For American listeners, that's a very famous, very popular soap opera in England. And you want to be in that?
Yes.
So that is your goal for your acting career?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this film is probably going to help with that, I would say. Yeah. Do you feel that you are being an ambassador for people with Down syndrome in any way? Do you feel like you're representing, showing people perhaps a different aspect? Because sometimes people have a stereotype of what they think people who have Down syndrome are like. Are you wanting to show people something different?
Yes.
Yeah?
Definitely.
And do you, does this film do that, do you feel?
I feel amazed.
Yes?
I feel astonished.
Have you, you've seen the finished film, have you?
Yes.
What was it like to see yourself in that way?
Quite emotional.
Yes? Yeah?
Yeah.
What was going through your mind?
I was crying, bits and pieces, really.
And what was bringing out that emotion? Just this, the story itself, or was it something to do with how you were seeing yourself?
Just from the heart.
So the storyline was very emotional.
Yes.
For you. Does it reflect any experiences that you've had in your own life?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So was that part of why it was so emotional?
Yes.
The church scene especially, wasn't it, Steve?
Yes.
What happens in the church scene?
The church thing, we had a funeral of my mother.
Oh.
Who, when my mother died.
So this is in the film?
Yeah, the story.
Is your mother, is she still around in real life?
Or? Yes.
Okay. But it's emotional to imagine losing your mother, I imagine.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you hope people will, when they watch this film, what do you hope they'll come out thinking or feeling about you or about the subject matter? Are you hoping it might change what people think about people with Down syndrome?
Yes, definitely.
I mean, have you in your life experienced prejudice, would you say, or people not treating you well because they perceive you in a certain way?
I'll say people will stare.
Right, yeah.
And I do not like that.
No, well, no one would, yeah. If
I see a disabled person, I'll just go up to them and speak to them.
Yes, yeah. I mean, that's sometimes people...
I've got someone who... I go to the button company, mm-hmm. and she's in a wheelchair, and her name is Charlotte,
mm.
and I can speak to her as normal.
Right, yes. So there's a challenge for people to see you, to see past perhaps, you know, what they see on the outside, and for all, you know, for other disabled people as well.
Yes. Yeah. I have seen the program of Frost.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And there is a Downs person in that.
Right.
And I watched Frost, and I think the Downs person, by his, like, the way that he speaks,
mm.
is just natural.
Right, yes. Yeah, so it's just showing the natural humanity,
yeah.
of the person and not making a big deal of the Down syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the film's got a world premiere here in California. That's very exciting, and I wish you all the well with it, all the best with it, and with your career. And I shall look forward to seeing you on EastEnders.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for your time. Thank you. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and thanks so much to all my guests this week. And just to let you know again, if you want more information about this film or the guests that I've spoken to, you can go to myferalheart.co.uk and also visit the show's website, itsaquestionofbalance.com, and check out maybe some of our past podcasts there. We've had lots of interesting topics and some really wonderful guests as well. If you just click on the guests or topics tabs on the homepage, you'll be able to see all the photographs there. So thanks for listening, and I look forward to you joining me again next week.